Hey, everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is Starburns Audio Produced Podcast. Don't laugh. I'm trying to pull it together here. This is Starburns Audio Produced Podcast. One believer, one skeptic, one guest. If you have a five-star review, leave it on Apple Pod. I should just write this down and read it every time. If you have a five-star review, leave it on Apple Podcasts. We will read it on the air. And join our Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. You can get two bonus episodes a week of varying quality. Today's wasn't great, but whatever. Hey, this episode is brought to you by Scott Plyler. Scott Plyler is a member of the Friends of Charlquan tier on the Patreon. So thank you so much, Scott.
Dude, thanks for supporting us. I get all the emails, and he was emailing us, and I was like, he emailed us because he did the 5-star review for last week. I was like, oh, you know, and I was like, thanks for being a patron. And he's like, oh, you reminded me that I wasn't one. So then he became one this week. I'm like, oh, fucking cool.
Oh, so you guilted him into it.
I know. I was going to say, I didn't. If there was guilt, it wasn't on purpose.
Yeah, thanks for being a patron. And that review was not even. He didn't like you, right? He was like, Willie sucks, and right? Wasn't that? That was the basis.
It was basically that he came around to me, because like he probably because he like got to know me. but I'm on the crazy friend list, you know.
The crazy friend list.
Oh, just saying that. Like, he didn't say that, but that's what I'm putting words into his mouth that like, he. He wasn't down with me because he's not down with a lot of conspiracies.
Oh, okay. Well, he's going to like today's episode because we've got a great guest who I know is not down with conspiracies. It's our good friend, Eric Acosta. Hello, Eric.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Welcome to good, the man. SSRLSF. Up,
yeah, that's a lot of letters.
Hey, I was thinking about this. We did an episode about earlier about all the deaths associated with the Clintons, and yeah. It's weird to think about. I haven't even listened to it since Q happened, but now I want to go back and be like, "Are we?" Whatever.
Oh yeah, we're like definitely contributing to like right wing, like.
But I'm pretty sure that while we might bring it up and put it out there, we also say probably not true. When we say it, we say it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I started adding the hashtag drunk talk to anything I post because I'm like, that's why anybody who has a problem with their show, they don't realize that we're just drunk idiots. They're like, how come you didn't tell us all the information I was looking for?
Yeah, it's not that type of show. This is not an echo chamber for all your conspiracy theories. Like, you already know all that shit. You don't need us for that. We're just here to poke some fun at them, right?
I think that we should start reanalyzing all the Q drops. Like, why not do that?
Q's over. Who cares?
It's not over, man. It sucks. It's not over.
It's so there's dead. A lot of they splintered off. They probably have a new leader now.
You're talking about the guy who makes all the James Bond equipment, right?
Yeah. It's over, man. They replaced him.
That's terrible. I'm against it.
Now there's a woman Q, if you can believe it.
Yeah, right.
2021.
Wasn't what's his name? From Monty Python. Wasn't one of the guys from Monty Python a Q once?
Really? Like,
are you talking about John Cleese?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't know. John.
I think he was in a sort of Bond parody or something. I think he was the gadget guy in something.
I can see Michael Palin doing it.
I love Michael Palin so much. He's got the best faces.
I don't know the difference between it. I only know John Cleese.
Is that a weird racist thing, you think?
Yeah, like, it's a,
you can't tell British people apart.
Right. Google, Google, Google.
Thank you for listening, but currently we're Googling.
Google, Google. The world is not enough. An assistant to Q was introduced, played by John Cleese. He was officially referred to as Q in Die Another Day.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Those are the only James Bonds I knew. I didn't know that any of the new ones.
So Which ones are those? Are those Pierce Brosnan or what?
Die Another Day?
Die Another Day was Pierce Brosnan. The World's Not Enough to Have is Pierce Brosnan, yeah. If not, it was another guy that looks like Pierce Brosnan. Because there was one guy in the middle that like looked...
Dalton. Timothy Dalton.
Timothy Dalton. One of those is Timothy Dalton.
I'll take your word for it. I don't know anything about James.
You know how some people have dimples? Like Timothy Dalton has dimples of the eyes. Like when he's... His eyes are like glimmering at you. That's why he was Bond.
You want to know how the James Bond franchise could be done the right way, then watch the Mission Impossible movies.
Okay? I don't know. I do like all the cheesy 80 ones the best.
With Roger?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up with Roger, so I was like, why is Sean Connery James Bond? I'm like, you know, and as I grew up, I was like, oh, no, he's the better one.
Right. Like, oh, he's a good actor. Oh. This is,
if you look at James Bond, the series, you could compare it to I don't know if we've – I'm sure we've talked about this before too. I'm sure everybody talks about this, but like your evolution of comedy can be compared to the movie Caddyshack where it's like you start out like, hey.
Yeah, yeah. That's my thesis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That you're as you age through Caddyshack, and what level you appreciate the humor on is like it happens at different stages of your life. You know.
Wait, I don't understand that. How do you mean?
We've talked about this, and I've just basically ripped you off. But go on.
I said that when because I saw Caddyshack at a very young age, way too young. I shouldn't have been seeing it. You know what I mean? But like I grew up on cable. That's just how it went. So if you see Caddyshack at a super young age, then the first thing that stands out and what's funny is Rodney Dangerfield, right? Because he's, oh, hey.
No. You're wrong. No, you're wrong. The first thing is the woodchuck or the groundhog or whatever.
See, but that, you have to be.
No, and I will tell you why, Eric. All right? I'm gonna reinvent your entire thing or at least throw this into your. Listen. No, because here's why. My parents went to a party that was like Caddyshack theme. It was some kind of golf thing or something. And they came home with a little, it was a puppet, but they gave them away as clubhead covers, you know?
Right.
Nice.
It was the groundhog. And immediately I was like, this is amazing. I've got to check out this Caddyshack movie.
Well, that's fine. I mean, because you know what? It doesn't undo it. You can, if you want to start younger, then that could be your base level, I suppose.
Yeah.
I'm saying alter your theory.
But once you start to like watch the movie, then it's Rodney Dangerfield is the first thing that appeals to you at a very young age because he's like over the top funny. He's just cracking jokes and that's funny. Then you start to get a little bit older, a little bit like wiser, and it's Bill Murray that pops for you. Bill Murray, you realize, oh, Bill Murray's the funny part of this movie. I want to be like that. That guy's really funny. And then when you start to get like, you know, deep into your teenagers,
Chevy Chase
is cool.
Wait, really? Oh, I was making fun of you.
No, I would have flipped him.
I would flip that too because Chevy Chase is doing the na 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 thing, which is like very.
Don't forget Bill Murray the entire time is just doing that dumb character where Chevy Chase has lines in there. He's got some like really good like, and that appeals to you like when you think you're cool in your teens. But then the last phase is when you realize and you're an adult, you realize that actually the funniest person in that movie is Ted Knight. That's when you graduate that level, you realize. Yeah. The genius right there.
The movie doesn't work without Ted Knight. The rest of like take away Ted Knight and the movie's like these hot playboys that like are being funny.
Well, but also Ted Knight is one of the funniest people who never gets talked about.
Yeah.
Like why is that? Nobody fucking talks about Ted Knight. That's crazy. He was on Mary Tyler Moore watch for, like ever.
I used to watch Too Close for Comfort because I love Mary Tyler Moore. And bro. Like I kept going, like, do other people like this show?
I don't even know what Too Close for Comfort is.
It was like remember Jim J. Bullock, Hollywood Squares, very flamboyant actor. He's plays Monroe. He's like, and Ted Knight and his wife live in like San Francisco, and like he and he, Jim J. Bullock is like their neighbor in the same condo or something.
But they also have like two hot daughters. One's blonde, one's brunette. And so it's weird.
He's a retired cartoonist. It's just an excuse to make a sitcom, you know, and it's just like all the your sitcom tropes happen in that show, everything. The exception of
and he's like a cartoonist or something.
Former cartoonist. But the weird part
I'm having like weird flashbacks. I definitely have seen this, but I do not remember it at all.
The rape episode, and it's flipped. Women rape Jim J. Bullock, and it's treated like sitcom humor. There's canned laughter. It's like really, it's really super awkward and uncomfortable and horrible.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, you know, yes. male rape is funny.
He wasn't gay in the show, right?
I don't think it was ever said or called out, but I mean, you know, it's Jim J. Bullock. So,
Do we need to do the WoW scale with you, or are we good?
I think we've done it plenty. I would say if I were going to give you in a nutshell, I'm a guy like I dismiss almost all, like, you know, coincidence or like supernatural belief. I acknowledge them in the moment with only things like saying things like this. Wow, isn't that weird? I was just talking about that. Like, that's so weird. Or any queen, like, wow, that's just so weird. And then it's gone, and I don't really focus on it like anything like that. So I don't really.
Let me ask you a WoW scale addendum.
Okay.
Within the last 5 years, it's been revealed, exposed, whistleblowed, whatever, that the Pentagon is spending millions of dollars researching UFOs, and they keep releasing all these military videos of UFOs. And we have a Space Force now. And the Air Force has now added lasers to their jets. What do you think of aliens now? Has your idea of changed of that?
Well, so I'm going in, my idea was that I absolutely believed that in alien or other life existence. My debate was whether or not I thought they had actually ever visited, you know? And I would say, you know what? 60-40 that they never did is where I am with it. Like I can go either. I mean, I'm pretty close to going either way. I think maybe I still lean a little bit more towards like, nah, probably not.
What's your definition of visited? Like flying around in the atmosphere or like landing?
At the minimum, flying around the atmosphere.
And you don't think that, even though there's like videos of all these crazy things?
I think that it's almost, you know, 50-50, I believe. Like, I can't say that I totally believe, yeah, on, you know, I'm on the, but I, if it turns out that they have, it's not mind-blowing. It's, yeah, that makes sense to me, you know.
Well, let me ask you a follow-up. If tomorrow aliens are on TV and they're like, what's up? Would that change your life in any way?
I mean, only if it's a threat to the planet.
No, they're like, what's up?
Then, cool, all right. I mean, to me, maybe I can only see positive. I can only see, like, them, you know, like, what? Oh, this crazy technology we didn't have, and now cancer is gone or whatever, you know? Like,
I can, yeah, well, but what if it's alienation and we just treat them like minorities?
Yeah, well, that's probably more likely.
Oh, for sure. We're going to be xenophobic about it.
District 9, I think, is so good.
District 9 is great, and that, like, actually it goes to the point I was going to make, and that's that if aliens want to come here and make friends, they better be humanoid, because we will not tolerate any other kind of like, nope, we won't.
Yeah, but think of all the fun slurs that we could make up for, like, if they have spines on their backs, we could call them spiners.
If, I mean, are we you're probably right, but I can't believe that this far into things, when we're already trying to, like, correct, you know, some of, like, the things we've done. Aliens come and we just start from zero with aliens again, and we get real racist and have to go through evolution.
Well, I mean, listen, you're right, but wouldn't that be the great equalizer? Like, black people would finally, they would be like, yes, finally. Like, now we're a part of the majority. We did it.
They'd probably step up more to like gain acceptance from the whites to be like, yeah, they hate them too. Look, they're proving it.
I mean, it is what the Irish and the Italian did. You know, that's.
I will say, I wanted to say this, just to go back. When you said Spiners, it'd be great if we called them Brents instead of Spiners, because Brent Spiner was
okay.
Was dead.
That's how Cockney words are.
Yeah, that's Cockney. You just invented a Cockney. Only we couldn't call them Brents. We would have to call them like the Rents or something. We would have to go one level further.
You know them Rents. What?
Be Rents. Yeah. Get out of here.
Brent Spiner. Spiners. They got spines. Oh yeah, that tracks. That's a smart language that you have, you fucking weirdos. Listen, I love Cockney people, but that shit is insane. That's crazy.
Like, how is it universally among them decided which word we're going with? Like, how? Which word?
Is it just like in the bar? Because I imagine they all go to the same bar, and they like they have a vote. They're like, what's the best rhyme for like a rainbow?
All right, should we vote for rainbow then? How many for we're going
to
call it?
Who wants to vote rainbow? Who wants to vote oboe? I personally play the oboe, so I don't want that.
For now, rainbow is called ridges, right? Because you got rainbow, bow ridges, bow bridges.
Bridges. It's insane. If you don't know what we're talking about, look up Cockney slang because it's insane.
It is weird.
Also, I want to go back a little bit further. Timothy Dalton was in one James Bond and it was License to Kill.
One? Wow.
Wow.
That's as far as I can tell. Oh,
no, that's
no,
right.
I'm wrong. Oh, no, oh. I'm way wrong. Oh, dude, I'm so wrong.
Okay.
An Octopussy. Oh, no, this is more like this. No, he's in more. I think I was right. Hang on. The IMDb changed everything, and now it's impossible to know.
I just remember I thought he was in one, and then immediately following, they replaced him with someone that looked just like him. And I was like, James Bond isn't supposed to look like Timothy Dalton.
I don't know if there is one in the middle. I think it went right from Dalton to Pierce Brosnan. Yeah.
Oh, no. There's two. Okay. No. Yes. That's... He's in the Living Daylights as James Bond.
Yeah, there it is.
And License to Kill.
Yeah.
The Living Daylights. That was the one with the violin player, right?
I don't even remember.
Okay, enough Timothy Dalton. Willie, what are we talking about?
Well, we're in the ballpark. We're talking about movies.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, misinformation. Has there ever been movies made to make you think that something that was real wasn't real? Or maybe something was made just to change the Google search top entries? Somewhere in there. Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
You gotta get back to writing these things. I know this is a replacement. I know it's a replacement topic, but come on.
And the thing is, I thought about it too. I was like, you know what? I should... You know how like most podcasts do like an opening after they've recorded? We touch on these topics.
Sure, yeah. All the professionals? You mean the correct way to do a podcast? Yeah.
I'm always like, I should at least redo the intro after we've done the show, since we get off topic so much, so that I could make it accurate to the show. The jumping off point is, we've talked about, you know, does the CIA or anything have like a Hollywood presence? Eric brought up the most proper first one that we should talk about,
the most proper first one is, I don't want to derail you. Go on.
Oh yeah. No, go ahead. Well,
Philadelphia Experiment.
Well, okay. I have that written down, but I think that's too meaty. I think Close Encounters, which is weird because Close Encounters does a good job of explaining the UFO phenomena.
If Close Encounters actually happened, I'll learn how to play the guitar, because there's no fucking way Well, I guess how one for one
it's
are we
pieces.
Talking?
It's pieces of it. So like first is off, it, they open with how pilots don't report UFOs, and then they're one for one on UFO interactions, like for a long time, like a light showing up, and then, you know, they don't have the missing time stuff, but. And then the other thing was the I forget the word. Is it intergalactic exchange program? Supposedly there was a situation like that. I think that I'm pretty sure this was talked about before Close Encounters, but that we sent some people off into space to go with them, and they left us some aliens.
Oh,
like,
I
top
see.
Secret.
Well, I know, I guess thinking about that specific movie, the parts that I think seem like, yeah, that's definitely something that could be, is like the government handling of it. Remember, like they reported all as like some sort of weird toxic gas or whatever. And like people, it's a quarantine. You can't come anywhere near that zone, you know, and yeah. they're like scaring people away from it. You know, and they put all the dead animals out there to make it seem like.
I mean, but they're also not wrong about that, because everybody who sees one of the things gets like a hideous sunburn. They definitely have skin cancer, like years down the line. And by the way, how come everybody at the final scene where they're playing music back and forth isn't getting like hideously sunburned by that giant ass shit that they're like totally close to?
Well, by then they had a good base. And, you know.
Well, see that's the fun part of the movie that Hollywood added. Like, there was no, like, of all the things, that wasn't real,
Willie. This is all Hollywood.
And why the doors on the DeLorean not freeze past the first time? You know, that's what I want.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because I'll tell you why. Because we don't. No, you're right. Fuck. I was thinking it only happens when you travel forward back through time, but we do see him do that.
Yeah.
God damn it. Fuck.
They just didn't want to keep doing it.
Yeah, it was like the props department was like, this sucks, dude. We have to spray the entire car with this weird foam, and it's hard to clean off.
Well, that's like a director thing going like, no, they get it. Like,
what'd you do?
We're already behind.
They assume that we do it the whole time.
It's also weird. It lends nothing at all, and it's never explained. It's just for one little part. Is it hot? It's cold.
Ooh,
that's it.
That was a surprise. I thought, wow.
Yeah, that's it. But Willie... So you're saying, okay, see, I've never heard this. I've never heard that Close Encounters was misinformation.
No, I don't. And it may not be, that may not be a common thing. I think that the idea was like the topic was that would even happen in the world. Like, does our government treat us like the audience in a magician act where they're like, look over here, there's a movie that's crazy. And they're actually doing it. Like, do you think that
the whole thing comes down to if it was a mis or disinformation thing, there's only one person telling whoever made that, TriStar or Warner Brothers, be like, hey, you guys should make a movie about aliens. Here's a couple tidbits, you know, just like get somebody to do it.
Yeah.
But nothing beyond that, because it's like you guys, it's not like here's a script. Here's anything you need to put in there.
Do you remember?
Right. But you're also going to have to chip in like $20 million because it's impossible to get a movie greenlit. So just because you came here and told us to do aliens.
Wag the dog, man. Wag the dog. Oh, you guys have seen the movie Blue Chips, right?
Yes. Jack and Bernie.
And like it's a whole about like, you know, you're not like paying your college recruits, scandal, that type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if you remember, but like Nick Nolte was like this coach who had like principle. I'm not going to pay anybody to play on my team. You know, like but by the end, it's like the pressure, it's too much. It's too much, you know, it's too hard to win. So they have to do it. They have to like go buy the players. And at the end, you know, he uses this guy who's a real sleazy like, you know, whoever, I don't know what his job title is, because he always got a sleazy suit on, you know, and he's the one that makes the deals. Nick Nolte doesn't like this guy. But at the end, he's taking, Nick Nolte's taking questions, and like, he, people are like, there's rumors, and he's being asked, like, is it true about the paying scandal? And Nick Nolte can't do it anymore. He can't keep the lie in anymore. So he calls out the sleazy guy. He's like, yeah, it's true. Yeah, what, you know, what did we give them? We gave him a car, right? We gave him a car and his mom a job. And the guy takes it to the next level and says, yeah, that's right, coach. Yeah, and a spaceship too, huh, you know? Like, and like, that's sort of this concept in a nutshell, right? It's like the idea that, like, you make something more fantastic so that people don't realize there's a lot of truth behind it.
You know,
that's sort of when I immediately think of Men in Black.
Do you think Men in Black is misinformation?
I think that like, that movie could be made taking everything that anybody can find, you know.
But none of the aliens are in there. None of the aliens from your world are in there. They're all like weird goopy gagas.
Yeah, but so like I'm saying, most of the stuff you can find, and you can see how they come up with that movie. But I feel like to make it a blockbuster hit. Not that you can predict that, but to put all the money and treat it like a blockbuster, you could add, you know, I feel like somebody could say, hey, make sure this is in there, and you don't know where it came from.
Like what in Men in Black? What is one thing in Men in Black? Because that movie is such a cartoon.
What about just the existence of an agency?
Yeah. That's a good base of like.
It's a good base, but it's also, everybody has talked about the Men in Black, right? Like, that was almost a joke that they were like, oh yeah, it's Men in Black. Like, we've all heard about like the myth or the legend of Men in Black.
Well, but the thing is, though, most people, if you look up most Men in Black stories, everybody's very serious about it. Like, there's no.
That's why it's a joke. That's why they're like, oh, yeah, Men in Black. We're going to make a comedy
Men in Black. Yeah, there's Men in Black that watch everything and patrol alien life from other planets here and somehow coordinate, you know. Like, whoa, we didn't say all that. We were just saying.
I'm not definitively saying that it's not misinformation. I'm saying that the entire concept is a joke. It's like, it's a wink. It's like, oh yeah, Men in Black. You know what I mean?
Well, like, and my thing is, like, I would say that, like, all you need is like one to push all the other ones, you know? So like, not every movie is that, but if this one was the one, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, and the other thing too, I would say, is that while, yeah, like the black helicopters and, you know, Men in Black, so to speak, like it may have been a thing already that we all, you know, there was a conspiracy already. Making it an alien thing wasn't though. I feel like Men in Black did that. Like, the movie like turned that whole notion into an alien connection thing.
Yeah, you might be right. I don't know if it's a chicken or the egg thing. I don't remember what I heard for. I definitely had heard of Men in Black, but I think it was more about like the JFK assassination and stuff like that. It was like, you know, high government dudes showing up and like sort of stamping out like information
here. You know,
because if you look at the history of Men in Black stories, it's anything paranormal, like. There's a lot of Bigfoot stories with Men in Black stories attached to them.
Well, then which we have doesn't to talk bring about any. The X Files, your favorite show in the world, would you call the X Files disinformation?
My version of this is the loosest base thing ever, where it's like, hey, because like I feel like the connection they had to Hollywood was nothing that was just too specific. It's like, hey, just let this exist, you know? Like, X Files came out at a time when declassified information was just coming out, and there were crazy things in these stories that like were very unbelievable. Like, for example, there was a government group where they were like trying to spy on other governments using telepathic, you know, men who stare at goats kind of thing. But they had people try to explain areas on Mars and stuff like that. And then also MK Ultra. I'm just saying, like, this was a time when a bunch of, like, bad stuff was coming out about the government.
I mean, that's just a stupid idea. Like, all right, prove that you're psychic. Explain an area of Mars to me. Because you can't fact check that. So the guy can be like, oh, yeah, there's, like, a big crater.
Well, then, the people that they're talking to, they never knew what they were talking about. It's just like, there were some psychic people that you give them coordinates, and then you have the subject matter, they don't. And so they don't know that they're connecting to your subject matter, and they didn't know it was on Mars. They had, whatever. It's hard to defend. It's hard to defend.
Yeah, it's dumb.
No, but here's the word, like, a practical way of saying how this could sort of be true is that I don't think it's not that hard. It's not that big of a stretch to believe that high-end Hollywood producers, maybe even some directors, have friends or at least, you know, acquaintances in government and in certain government agencies. And I don't think it's totally crazy to think that, like, you do say, hey, tell me some crazy secret story or something. Tell me, like, something that the public is not allowed to know. And then you use that to make a fiction piece. You use that to make a story, you know, and, like, maybe that's true. Like, maybe there are movies out there that are super based on, like, shit, we would be blow our minds as
real. Yeah, but then wouldn't there be a million lawsuits? Like, oh man, I told Steven Spielberg the other day about this UFO and now he's like a millionaire. And
well, but the idea is if you are,
it's not enough. It's like, it's not, it wouldn't be, it would be like small concepts or just, you know, wouldn't be,
yeah,
like not the whole story.
People have sued over less.
That's
but,
true.
But picture this though. Picture the top secret people from the 60s and the 70s, right? Where they
I totally got them. They've got those ties that are kind of cool that I think should come back.
At this time, we've passed McCarthyism, you know, and we are very aware that there are people from every country trying to infiltrate top secret stuff, you know. People's phones are tapped. They're just looking. There's spies. There's double agents and there's spies everywhere, right? At this time, maybe there's somebody who is connected to Hollywood, maybe works for the FBI, CIA, whatever, and they just kind of say, like, hey, make a movie about this, so because, like, this, whatever, whatever. But then eventually that position still exists, but then they're not really connected to the real secrets because top secret stuff is always need to know, and it's more compartmentalized to keep people away from the real secrets. It's like, you know, like I always say, if the moon landing was fake, there's only a couple of people that know because everyone else was getting fed, could be fed information to make their job. Like, I just watched the heartbeats. So to me, the moon landing was real because these heartbeats were real. All I did was monitor the heartbeats.
You always go back to the heartbeat thing, but, like, that's one aspect of faking an entire moon landing. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
What about all the gaffers who are like, lighting it and shit? You don't think that they see that on TV and go, like, wait, we shot that, they told me that was a fucking movie?
I think all you need to do is kill one of them and then, like, the rest of them will shut up.
I mean, that's probably not that far off.
I mean, it's a little weird to be like, okay, all right, we're the government, or hey, you guys, we've got to win the space race, let's fake the moon landing so that America will, I don't know, be happy. But we're only going to have to kill, like, a couple lighting dudes.
I don't think that they faked the moon landing. I think that they faked some of the videos in case they died up there. But we actually did go there, and that they were hiding that there's alien artifacts up there.
My point still stands that this is a dumb fucking plan. Where if any plan is like, we will have to kill a couple people to make them quiet, and then everyone else in the room is like, yeah, okay, let's do that for sure. That's a stupid plan.
What's the number of people? Because for sure, whether you're talking about the mob or whatever, like, for sure, a discussion has been had by two people for sure about somebody having to get killed. What do you think is the largest number of people in a room discussing that, that somebody has to be killed?
I mean, you could go with the old, we accidentally killed a stripper. Or is that, we have to hide the body? So we're talking premeditated, we've got to kill somebody.
Yeah.
I think they never have to kill anybody, though. It's just threats. Like, what if your mom called you and said, "Hey, Wade, somebody called me and said that you shouldn't talk."
Oh, well, to answer Eric's question, I would say five. I would say there's the one guy who proposes it and goes like, "We should kill this person," right? And the other four are like, "No, dude, that's crazy." And then they sit around and they think for a really long time, and there's like coffee and cigarettes and stuff. And then, like, it's almost like being on a jury. One guy comes over and he's like, "You know what? Maybe we should just kill him." And like, it basically comes down to two on two. And then the fifth guy is like the final vote that they win. And he goes, "Yeah, let's kill him." And so it's kind of like three on two. And then the other two guys are like, "Yeah, okay." I think that's the most. I think any more than that, and you either got a deadlock, or you got someone who's going to go tell.
Well, whatever is in the room, you usually have to add one, because the killer is almost never in the room. Like, they, when it's, the decision is made,
yes,
you get the killer.
But that guy, you can just get on the corner or whatever.
That's true. They come cheap. That's true.
He doesn't. Well, he doesn't know.
You know, the cheap price for most people is you get somebody who, you know, kills people, but also has big tax debt. Like, "Hey, we'll wipe it out."
Yeah, I was thinking, or you get a big dummy who, like, doesn't read the paper, and he has no idea that he's killing, like, you know, the diplomat from Tibet or whatever the fuck. He just thinks it's another job, and you get him on the cheap. That can come back to bite you, though, because then he could blackmail you if he figures it out. But he's such a dummy, he probably won't.
What's the Ben Affleck movie where they faked a movie to get past
Argo?
Argo.
No, it's called Go Fuck Yourself, right?
Fuck Yourself.
Argo, Fuck Yourself.
And wait, do you guys, who's the guy who was the game show host who
Barrett.
What do you guys think about that? Do you think there's any validity to that, or he's just making stories from selling a book?
I don't know.
Because he died before the movies, right? The movie. So he just wrote a book, right? Or was it even a book? Did he sell a book?
It seems crazy to me. But I do know that, but it's not, like Julia Childs or somebody like that was sent. Like, the government approached her, or somebody like Julia Childs approached her, because I think it was like wanting to use her high profile in a way where, like, hey, while you're doing this, maybe you can help some. That's true. I do know that happened.
Like Julia Childs. So what that would have been like almost. Oh, I don't know. She was around for a long time, but like that might have been the height of like patriotism, right? Where you still believed in America or whatever.
Yeah, I guess so. Because you feel like I'm doing something for my country, right? Like,
right.
Yeah.
There's no better cause than for my fucking ambiguous country that doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. Like that. I mean, that's true. I'm sure like there was a sense of patriotism, but you know, that's also how we found the Titanic. Also, is that. The guy who was in charge of the mission was actually approached by the United States government and said, "Hey, we believe that Russia has, I think they were looking for nuclear subs or something, like, but we, you know, we don't want them to know that we're spying, that we're looking on them. So we want you to put together like you're going out to discover the Titanic. We'll give you all the information as if you were going to, but what you're really going to do is take a weird route, and you're going to find out what's up with the Russians over there." And the way it worked out is he did the thing, he did the mission, and then on his way back, he took the Titanic route
He's like, "We got time. We could maybe discover the Titanic."
But that's how it was discovered.
Confessions of a Dangerous Mind was a memoir written by Chuck Barris that was turned into a movie.
Memoir,
let's take a quick break, and we'll get back to talking about misinformation in mainstream movies with our good buddy Eric Acosta.
Really Bad Movies, in association with Craig's Fine Grocery Stores, presents A Normal Family.
Billy, catch the ball. Billy, catch it. I'm going to throw it. Billy.
A possessed knife.
Hey, Billy, where'd you get that?
Why?
Well, because Mom wanted to cut some ham that she just cooked, and she doesn't have a knife. She's looking for one. Bring that to Mom.
This knife turns anyone that touches it into a cold-blooded killer.
Mom? What's wrong? The ham's over there. Mom? Mom? Mom?
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath. You don't need to see the other three to enjoy the thrills. And the kills. And the chills.
I wish Mommy didn't kill Billy. He was cool.
The knife. It has me. It has control of me. What are you talking about, Greg? Put that... What are you doing? Greg, put that thing down, man. That's a serious weapon. Greg!
Everyone killed everyone. Everyone did it. I don't get it. Wait. Maybe I do.
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. We are talking to our good friend Eric Acosta about movies that are what's the difference between disinformation and misinformation? Disinformation would be negative, and misinformation would just be something completely different.
Yeah, miss is like the wrong. I think that they're the same.
Okay. Eric, real quick.
Yeah.
You got any, what are you working on? Do you want to shout anything out?
Well, I guess I can still, I mean, there's still new Apple and Onion episodes to watch, which, by the way, are now on HBO Max. Enjoy that. And then, you know, that's all that I'm allowed to talk about, you know. So.
Oh, wow. So yeah. That sounds very like the government got to you and you're making some kind of misinformation movie.
I was going to say, yeah, let's just say I have a friend who has some stories. Okay.
All right, Willie, give us another misinformation movie.
Okay, let me run into this real quick. Misinformation is false information that is spread regardless of intent to mislead. Okay? So disinformation, false information, as about a country's military strength or plans, disseminated by a government or intelligence agency in a hostile act of tactile political subversion. Basically, more generally to mean deliberately misleading or biased information, manipulated narrative or facts, propaganda.
Oh, I see. So disinformation is on purpose. Misinformation could just be being stupid.
Yeah. Like, let's just put anything out there because someone's going to. So my fun one that I have is, when I first heard this, I was like, man, it kind of makes sense. Let's say you're a top executive at Disney and you just tell somebody this, hey, I want you to make a movie. I don't care what it's about, but you've got to name it Frozen because I'm tired of people searching Disney and Frozen and finding out about Walt Disney's head being frozen. So you're just changing the Google search. Like, you can't even find information about Disney's head being frozen because Frozen is so popular. Like, it's taken over the search.
That's really...
Is his head frozen?
I mean, that was... But I know what Willie's talking about. Like, all my life, I heard that Disney had himself cryogenically frozen. You know, like, that. I heard that
about the baseball player, Ted
Williams. Yeah, like, the
yeah,
same...
Yeah.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but Walt Disney, all my life, I had heard that. Yeah,
that's so really, I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, it is
because
really
I'm like,
but it's fun. It's like when something messes with a Google search. Like I was a 1 year when like my family of four was gonna do a Toy Story themed Halloween, and the idea was like, okay, so Josie will be Jessie, and tiny little, like, Chloe was like almost a tiny baby. We put her in a little bullseye costume, like a horse. So you have Jesse and the horse. I would be Woody, and Kathleen was going to be Bo Peep. Like, you know, because that's sort of the Woody love interest, you know. But what's almost impossible is you cannot find a costume. If you put in the words, like, adult Bo Peep costume, you do not get what you think you're going to get.
Well, like, let's be honest. You bought a couple of those, too.
But it was so difficult.
I don't know if you can use the word adult.
I know.
With any costume, like almost any search, if you add adult to it, you're done for.
It's, yeah, it's absolutely true. That's like a useless word now. Like, you can't.
Do you think anybody that hasn't seen the movie?
Useful.
Anybody who hasn't seen the movie accidentally showed up as like the adult Bo Peep, not knowing that it was like a sexy version.
Like, I guess this is what she. I guess this is what
this
she
is what it said. I can show you people, my search.
All those people who go to Halloween as things that they've never seen before.
Someone do this.
I also want to comment on babies are always the props of Halloween costumes. They're always just like, let's make it a horse. Like, fuck it. She couldn't be Mr. Potato Head or something.
If you don't have a pet, then yes, the baby has to be the pro. You know?
You could have just covered her in like those monkeys.
Yeah, she's the
barrel. Oh yeah, that would have been fun.
But
Bo Peep was Woody's girl until Joan Cusack showed up. Is that Toy Story 2?
Jesse is always with Buzz.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh wait, so Josie was Jesse.
Yeah.
Jesse was with Buzz?
Yeah.
Like Jesse was a part of Woody's story, but they never made him.
I know. That's why. Hey, you're gonna put people in corners, huh? Is that what, like,
well, everyone? He's a moron too. Why wouldn't she like
designated spots?
It seems like she would have been into Woody and they could have done like a weird triangle there.
Yeah, no, we had both.
So Frozen, that's like great. If you work for Disney and someone just says Frozen to you, you're like, I got it. Immediately I know what I'm going to do. There's an ice princess and like blah, blah, blah. It's like it writes itself. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What fertile. You could really, if you work on Disney, you could just flip through the dictionary and be like, aardvark. I guess I flipped to the first page. But you've got a Disney movie just by looking up the word aardvark.
He's kind of a nerd, you know? He's not the regular aardvark.
He doesn't fit in with all the other anteaters. He likes ants because the ants are living creatures. And he's like, why are you guys eating these ants? And he befriends an ant. And then it's like the Fox and the Hound story.
I mean, how his dad died.
Oh, well, so this one's different. His dad's still alive. And his mom was an ant.
Oh, whoa. That's not going to work.
No, I mean, she had a sister that also had kids, and so she became an aunt, and then and then one of the nephews was falling down a ravine, and she went to save him.
I would pitch that his dad died from eating ants, but he never blamed the ants. So like everyone else blamed the ants and he should have been against
interesting.
Them
okay.
even more.
So 100 years ago, there was a truce between ants and anteaters. And this guy, this dad, was actually a bad dude. And he went and ate a bunch of ants and died because he ate too much. But they spun it into propaganda that the ants killed him. And so then they're all going out to kill all these ants. And the ants are like, we didn't do shit. How about that?
You know, I want to know why, if like the formula for almost all Pixar Disney movies is you have to kill one parent, how come you never have a situation where you have one parent kill the other, like that, and that's the trauma that the kid has to go through. Like, oh, I lost my mom.
They've done darker stuff than that. Like, that could be a thing. But also, my mom. I'll tell you exactly why there's only one parent. Because have you ever written anything and there's two parents and you're like, it doesn't matter which one says this. They're just parents. Yeah. Like, whatever. Can we just get rid of one?
They have individual personalities. It's their parents. It's a code.
They tell the kid what to do.
I think John Lasseter's parents were divorced.
Yeah.
I bet you money.
You need your hero. You need your hero to grow quickly. You kill a parent. That's what it does. They grow quickly, and their eyes get real big too. Apparently, too.
What when you kill a parent?
Well, I mean, when you kill a parent, that's the reason story wise why you do it. You kill a parent, forces your character to grow fast.
No, but why are their eyes?
No, that's a Disney trademark. Like, heroes always have really big eyes.
That just goes back to psychology, right? Like, you like babies because they have big eyes. You want to take care of them.
Bad guys always have little black eyes.
Yeah. Like the three of us.
Well, Disney villain is usually a pretty fun character. I'll take it.
Is there more on the Frozen front, or is it just that?
No. And I haven't even thought of other, like, what else out there exists?
What if Toy Story is real and the toys were like, we're going to get killed if they know that we're alive. Let's fucking
make a movie.
Yeah. Let's talk to, but then it just gets way harder for them. They're like, this is backfiring. Now kids are like noticing when we move and shit.
Actually, you know, what's great is, so it's the toys need to somehow like incept the idea of making a movie to Hollywood. Then the problem is that, then they have to like sit by while Hollywood executives make notes and make it a different story. And the toys are like, oh, this is not even what we were telling them to do. This is
Yeah, we steal clothes. That's our whole thing. There's no clothes stealing in this. Our thing.
Here's one here. Here's one. Let's say that the U.S. government created the virus AIDS because it didn't. They were trying to do away with AIDS dietary supplements.
There's also the candy AIDS, right? Or is that spelled differently?
That's the dietary supplement. It's AYDS.
It wasn't okay. And the candy is just straight up AIDS, right?
No, there is. It's not a candy. It looks like a candy, but
Dude, hang on. Don't gaslight me. There's an AIDS candy.
I don't think so. AYDS looks like candy, but it's like a dietary pill. It's like a health thing.
Well, then why the hell did people give it to me on Halloween?
People gave, oh, that they'd be like giving you Rolaids.
Shut up. Whoa. I feel like, hang on. I feel like I'm getting a Mandela effect here.
Oh.
I think that they probably invented AIDS because they're like, Tom Hanks is a serious actor, and if we invent a disease, he will eventually play someone with AIDS, and then he'll be in the Oscar conversation.
And a representative of all U.S.-based companies was there, but the guy for AIDS dietary supplements was late, and he was running, and the guy, and they're in the meeting, okay, does anyone object to calling this virus AIDS? Does anyone have an objection to AIDS? No? Nobody in the room? Nobody? Okay, then.
Going once?
He's running.
Okay, wait. I got a hit. It's on YouTube. It's called AIDS Diet Candy Commercial, and it's AIDS.
Oh, AIDS. Okay, yeah.
Oh, wait. No, but they misspelled it in the fucking goddamn YouTubers. Get it right, dude. Because then in the video it's AY, and also like fuck this person. This guy's just getting. He's got 400,000 hits because he's just like put that fuck you downvote for you.
Whoops! I'm a millionaire.
I get $1,000 per hit. I'm a millionaire.
You think that the CEO thought that they could push through? Like, look, I know right now it looks bad because of the sickness, but seriously, no one's gonna be talking about this disease next year.
Like, well, I don't think that anything could have saved a diet candy company.
Listen, everyone's gonna have fun trying to pronounce it.
AIDS.
You sound like you're from Down Under, which is very popular right now.
AIDS.
But I was trying to like invent a theory where the U.S. government like that doesn't behoove them to have people get in shape or be healthy. They need us getting fat and eating horrible foods. So how do we get rid of this dietary? Like, well, let's create a disease of the same name, wipe it out completely.
Everyone is in shape.
If you want to lose weight, get this AIDS. Don't get that diet candy. Get the disease.
I lost 90% of my mass.
I got AIDS and I lost 80 pounds in my life.
They're like T-cells. T-cells are what's causing you to be fat.
Yeah, it's you know, maybe it's far-fetched, but it's the theory I'm going with. That's what I'm going
I'm sure
with.
There is, but you've definitely stumbled into a different conspiracy theory, right? Where AIDS was made to get rid of gays. Like, there's got to be a conspiracy theory out there about
that. Of course. We already know that that's why we have hurricanes.
To get rid of the gays?
Yeah, that was like at least when Hurricane Katrina happened, that's what they said. That was the sinners did that, like the gay, you know, that God is angry about homosexuality.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But I mean, I cannot believe how many videos I've seen this year where there is a religious angle that all these people are dying because they're sinners. I cannot tell you.
It's infuriating, dude. It's so fucking,
I'm like what?
Fuck you.
Yeah, because they're sinners.
Oh, look at this place has been rocked with earthquakes, and like they didn't even mention that they were sinners. You were just supposed to assume that because it was a country filled with minorities. Like, they're the majority of their own country.
Yeah, but here's the thing about fucking stupid Christianity is everyone's a sinner. So yeah,
right, it's built in. Like that's the genius part of the scam is that, like, you know, the only way in to this special club, you know, is, you know, you is to be like, you need to follow the word of God. Well, I'll be fine. I don't need to follow the word of God. No, you do, because otherwise how are you going to get your sins forgiven? Oh, don't worry about it. I don't have any sins. No, you do. You automatically do. We give you a sin when you join, like you have one that you can't get rid of.
You're a bad person. Like, we've covered it. It's almost like laws in America. If you're just walking around, you're definitely breaking some sort of law.
What do you think about?
Yeah.
Because rule number two is don't want things that aren't yours, you know.
I fucked my neighbor's wife. Okay, well, that's a sin, but, like, we're not going to send a hurricane for you. Well, but I'm a woman. Oh, well, shit. No, oh, yeah. No. Hurricanes.
Whoa. Yeah. Why are you speaking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched this. Was it a documentary? I don't know. It was this one. It was about a black guy who was going to a Mormon church. And even though in the Mormon religion, like, you can't go to their heaven if you're black. And he was still like, well, you know, I still believe it.
No, for real?
I think it's wrong, but my hands are tied. I mean, that's not.
But it's what I was taught.
Yeah.
Listen, I was born a Mormon. Yeah, sir, you were born black. Well, but I was born a Mormon.
What can I tell you? I'm not going to heaven. That's what I'm saying. It's unfortunate.
This is a huge waste of time. I've devoted my life to a giant waste of time, but I'm all in.
But I got three wives, so I'm cool.
Yeah. Well, shit. No, he found a loophole.
But what happens if you die? What happens if you die then, and then you end up in heaven, and you go in heaven? I'll be distraught. I'll be upset. Everything I believed was a lie.
I'll be totally alone. I'll be the only fucking black person there. Who am I going to talk to about jazz?
I grew up under a lie my whole life.
There's no basketball courts there at all. Sorry, I'm teetering into racism
one.
Now.
I know. There's one. It's just on a farm in a dirt lot, kind of like Larry Bird, you know?
It's just me and Larry Bird, and he wasn't even Mormon.
This is not the way to play basketball.
I just like the idea of someone like you die, and then you open your eyes, and you're in heaven, and you're like, oh, God damn it.
They told me this wouldn't happen.
I'm not supposed to be here.
But that's your hell, is that you went to heaven.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, it's a catch-22.
Is there someone I can talk to here? I'm not supposed to be here.
Yeah, this is on purpose. This is on purpose.
Yeah, this is. So, actually, what it is the white people in the Mormon faith go to heaven. Black people are taught that they're never going to go to heaven. That's just how it is, and they believe that. Because black people go to hell, which for them would be heaven. Because
yeah, but let me tell you this: all those white people, once they see that black person, it's not heaven anymore for them. They're like, "What's this shit?"
Hey, God, come here.
We'd like to go back to Utah. We don't see anybody that looks like that.
I've got a couple notes about this place. just to jump into the big one, I know we've talked about this probably a few times. We talked about the Philadelphia Experiment episode, whatever, but like...
Oh, by the way, that previous segment, if I ever get on Saturday Night Live, will 100% make sure that I don't get the job. Like, that will come up, and they'll be like, oh, shit, he's racist, just like that other fucking guy.
Does it change anything if you convert to Mormonism?
Ooh, has there been a Mormon cast member?
Oh, my God. Let's talk about representation at SNL. We got our first Asian.
And he's very milk toast, whatever.
Bowen Yang, though, he's becoming a thing on SNL. He's like,
yeah, Willie, take that back. He's very good at impression. You don't watch SNL, so why would you say?
I was gonna say I've seen him in two sketches.
He did a thing a few weeks ago that was like huge, got super, like went viral. He did a thing where he showed up on Weekend Update as the iceberg that sunk the Titanic. It was pretty funny, but it got. It was huge.
Good. I want.
Yeah, I don't watch it.
I would love for SNL to go back to those sort of days where it's not every the political stuff. Why? It's just like, come on, man. We've got like
that's why I don't watch
stuff
it.
Like yeah. that. We got John Oliver. For my sketch comedy, I just want some insane premises like the iceberg that sunk the Titanic. Like that.
I was tired of the Bush impressions by Dana Carvey. You know, I was like, fuck, man. Every week we got to do this?
The truth is, I will say that it does seem to be seasonal because I watch it every week. I can't tell you the last time that they did that anybody played Biden on that show. It's been months.
Listen, all of our conservative listeners, if they're out there, will tell you that's just the SNL like bias spin. Like, they're not going to make fun of the Democrats.
Well, I mean, Fred Armisen and Jay Farrell were Barack Obama constantly, I feel like. And you know, plenty of Bill Clinton. I just think it's like it's seasonal. It's like it's just right now, it's just in the U.S., like us as a people don't care.
Like, well, I think it's also like where's the fertile comedy? Like, yeah. What is Biden? I never even see that motherfucker. Like, I wouldn't know how to make fun of him. Aviators.
The best thing that's happening right now is that like we've returned to boring – I don't care. that's all I wanted. That's all I wanted is this.
That's what we all wanted, I think. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, I'll go check it out again.
Yeah. That's the life I wanted. Can I just go back to like boring and like it doesn't matter? Just no more setting everything on fire every day. That's all I ask.
Yeah, well, 100%. It would be great if like we didn't have to make everything political, you know?
Yeah.
If every comment section you went to on the internet wasn't like.
Well, and it usually isn't in other places. Like so many different topics. So many different topics are not political anywhere else. You know, it's like, for example, like look at in Asian countries have been wearing masks for a very long time, you know?
I know.
And it's not like when their government suggested it, like, hey, everyone, we should be wearing masks. There was a faction that was like, I'm outraged and this is a political no, they were just like, oh, that makes sense. And then they didn't turn it into some weird debate.
You know what's weird? I've been noticing because now all these NBA fans, they're finally letting people back into NBA games. And like all these NBA fans are now they're salting NBA players. And I use that term definitively, like not
talking about
pouring popcorn on someone's head is assault only because litigiously that's what it's called, right?
Sure.
It's not, I wouldn't define it as assault, but like our country does. And I'm wondering is this are we so tribal now that even like rooting for a team in a different city is going to turn violent in some way? Like, do you guys think, we're way off topic, but do you think that I feel like I've noticed that it's turned up a notch, but maybe I'm wrong.
I guess maybe the frequency, but I mean, like I always, that what's front of mind for me is like the Dodgers guy, the Dodgers Giants, when they beat him so bad remember that? It was like,
Yeah.
Like those things pop up from time to time,
but that wasn't too long ago. I'm just speaking like because that was pre-Trump, right? That was like
right. It was like two.
What about that Rockies? Rockies was it Giants recently? No, I don't know the
Dodgers Giants. Oh, recently. Oh,
recently there was a guy that.
Yes, there was
just
a.
Got
it was
punched real, like got knocked out. But that stuff doesn't make the news normally. It just happened, you know, like, why was that? It was just
maybe it's a coverage. I don't know. I hope that we're not turning like completely fucking savage tribalists when it comes down to something as arbitrary as like which team you picked.
Well, like, okay. So like I wanted to talk about this at some point, you know, the guy that threw the water bottle at Kyrie, they turned this into a big race thing. And I'm like, he fucking stomped on the logo, and I'd have no problem throwing a water bottle at him. They just turn it into a race thing immediately.
Oh, well, okay, but like you should not throw a water bottle at someone ever because he stomped on a logo. So the logo is like a representation of you in some way.
Well, I'm just saying if everyone's anonymous, I'll throw anything. I'm kidding, but I'm going like, well, this was not a racial issue.
Well, who knows?
I don't know enough about the story, but I mean, like, my instinct would not be to take it to a racist, but my instinct is like knowing that we're talking about, you know, sports and fandom that like, yeah, that's to me, I would chalk that up to like, an absolute fucking idiot fan, and there's no shortage of those people.
What? I only say that I wouldn't do that, but water bottles get thrown at players at least, I would say, once a month at least.
In the NBA?
On their way out.
I don't actually know what happened. They threw like a full water bottle at him, or they dumped water on him?
And personally, I think
because dumping water on him is a celebration.
I think it was empty, but
A
water bottle got thrown in front of me. Looked back, and they found the guy, and it was a white guy. And they're like, "Oh, this fucking racist." And I'm like, "Hey, at the beginning of the game, Kyrie walked over to the logo and like stomped on it and like made a huge not Kyrie,
Fuck, man.
Who does Kyrie play for now? Because I was thinking maybe...
Who does Kyrie play for now?
He's a net, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, it was him.
But yeah, the...
Well, so this guy could just be a round earther, right? Because isn't Kyrie... Or did he back... Yeah. Did he backtrack on that?
Didn't he play for the Celtics?
He did, yeah.
And he left in a bad way?
Right.
Yeah. And then also he comes to stomp on the loco?
They didn't trade him. He left.
Oh, I thought he sucked, and they were like, fuck this dude.
No. He left
in a bad way at a bad time when he was supposed to be the hero, and then he comes and stomps on the logo. I'm like, why are you stomping on the logo? And they call it a race thing. I don't like him because of that. I don't give a fuck about him, but I don't like him for stomping on the logo because you fucking left the team high and dry because of the way he left the Celtics.
Who cares?
Well, his throwing.
Like, so, if you work at Shopko and they're like a piece of shit to you, you should like stay there and like be a Shopko employee and just like get fucking laid into every day.
No, he left and got bigger money and he's on a better team. But like, you don't need to come stomp on the logo.
I don't know if this is part of it, but obviously the other thing too is that Boston, you know, has such a horrible reputation among
they're racist. Yes. Yeah,
among
I'll black, say this, Boston, you racist.
But like a lot of black.
Okay, you're right about that. I you know, that to me isn't a part of. I don't.
Yeah. It's weird that you don't associate, like, obviously just speaking stereotypically, like, think of racism, we tend to like push it south in this country. You know, we tend to be like, that's where the race, and like, so when you like it's Boston and it geographically, it's kind of like weird. Like, what? I don't understand. Like,
how, I mean, like there wasn't even a black guy on Cheers, and that has nothing to do with the Celtics, sort of.
Well, that's there wasn't a black person on a network television show at that time.
Boston.
Cosby had to come in and fucking change everything.
A lot of people don't know that most shows were in Boston. They don't realize that.
You know? That's true. Boston. No, yeah, that's true. But that, all right, we're way up. I don't agree with the racist thing, but I also don't agree with like being. I'm fine with Melo. He didn't fuck us. I don't know why we boo him every time. It's like
we only booed him because he did good in that one game. Yeah, yeah. We shouldn't be booing him.
I'm very afraid of the tribal thing. I feel like it's getting worse and worse.
You're right, it is, but I don't think it's not really avoidable. Like, there's too many of us. We're a massive country, and there's so many people. Like, try to get, it's impossible. Like, it's just,
I mean, here's one for all of us that works is the Broncos fans were booing Cutler, and I'm like, when he was with the Bears when we played for the first time, I'm like, why are you booing Cutler, man?
We traded him. We traded him. He had no choice.
And instinct is so dumb. Like, it's the same thing, like, owners. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a good owner or a bad owner, if you even know anything about the owner of the team. If they announce the owner that comes out, boo. It's just like, maybe there's a good reason to boo. Like, but do you guys even know what it is? No, they're just booing because it's the owner, and owners always get booed, you know? But.
I'll tell you the difference is fucking, or maybe the outlier. I don't know the exact term to use, but like Denver people love Pat Bowlen.
You know what?
And that guy sucks.
Yeah.
he took the D off the helmet because he was planning on moving the team if we didn't build him a stadium, and nobody remembers that shit. And I'll say that in like fucking internet comments. And everyone will be like, he was a saint. It's like, no, he wasn't.
He changes the D and then wears a mink coat at the Super Bowl. Get the fuck out of here, man.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of down with the mink coat. Like, I think that's cool. And I'm surprised someone that looks like you, who dresses like you, is gonna slag a guy for wearing a mink coat. we're up against it here. Is there a final
Let me drop I believe the Philadelphia experiment happened, and so like I think that somebody made somebody make the movie and it wasn't inspired, and that's not why it wasn't good. But I think that the Philadelphia Experiment movie was made to discredit the real thing from happening because it was a, because it.
And do you think it really was Eddie and the Cruisers guy that went, that was involved?
He's still looking back. Didn't he go to hit? I don't know.
So the Philadelphia Experiment is weird to me because, like, everything you've told me about the actual Philadelphia Experiment that you talk about, I'm not saying it's the real Philadelphia Experiment, but, like, having guys, like, in the ship, like, in... Well, also, Eric, do you know about this? Willie, just recap it real quick for the listeners and Eric.
So the idea is Tesla got with the, and he was in his 80s. He was late, but he got with the Navy, and they
oh,
were.
Man, I said real quick, and you started with Tesla.
Well, I can still do it. I can still do it quick though. Basically, they say that they were trying to degauss these ships to make them not work against. Magnetic mines, and Tesla used a bunch of energy, and basically all this energy in the ship like phase shifted it, so it like disappeared from the port, and then when it reappeared, like people were like stuck in the metal of the ship. It's like they dematerialized and then rematerialized, and they were all fucked up, and so like they got this new technology that they could phase shift between, I don't know if it's dimensions or just like a radio dial, like tuning out.
Well, I always thought it was time, but like the point is that's more interesting than anything that happened in the Philadelphia Experiment. The movie. The movie is like just a guy wakes up and he's like in a different time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a weird disinformation campaign to leave out the one fucking thing that's like super cool, which is the idea of like time travel or dimension travel, where like if you fuck up your coordinates, you could end up in a wall.
But it also might serve for what Willie was talking about, where and people keep asking about the Philadelphia Experiment. I don't know how they got that name of our secret thing. You know what? We need a different Philadelphia Experiment out there, and so when these people come snooping around, they only find this dumbass movie. You know, like that's what they did. Like they just like here, take.
Well, yeah, that's the point. I think the other conspiracy involved in this is they were like, Tom Hanks needs an Oscar. We'll call it Philadelphia.
Well, listen, Philadelphia Experiment bombed, and yeah, they got a second movie.
There was a second movie?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Was it called the Jersey Turnpike Experiment?
It just said for reals, comma, for reals.
Okay, this time we're going to do it, the Philadelphia Experiment.
This was made in 1993, the second movie.
Oh, okay.
Still existed before anybody acknowledged Area 51. Just saying.
Just saying that you're... Case closed. Like, what? What are you talking about?
I'm just laughing. I know. It doesn't. I'm just laughing that, like... You know, the first administration to admit that Area 51 existed was Barack Obama's, and by then all the shit was out of there. Anyways,
Let's wrap it up. This was fun. Eric, do you have time to stick around and do the bonus? You got to bail.
Yeah, I can do it.
All right. Yeah, you got the kids are asleep, right? You got nothing to do.
They're not asleep.
They're not. It's nine o'clock.
We're a 9:30 ish house.
Okay. All right. What time does the news come on? Because that was my bedtime.
What time was when MASH comes on?
Well, after the... Yes. Me too. I remember hearing the MASH theme.
Yeah, it was Honeymoon. MASH theme. I watched Honeymooners, and then MASH started, and then it was there.
Honeymooners?
I love the Honeymooners. Bang.
So, I don't understand. You're in a big Chicago market, and they're running Honeymooners? Like...
In the 80s? Yeah.
Well, it was a 1960s show.
Yeah. Right. In the '80s, everything was about the '60s.
Yeah.
It was years ago.
Like, I thought the Jetsons. Yeah.
No, my point is we were watching like Cheers that led into MASH or something, not the fucking Honeymooners.
But Cheers would have been still on the air. This was like late night reruns, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Whatever. The point is, thanks for being here. We will continue the conversation on the bonus. If you want to listen to it, go to Real Life, go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. You want to plug your socials or anything else out there?
No, I don't.
Apple and Onion on HBO Max.
That's right. Apple and HBO Max. You can even hear me do some funny, funny characters. They're really hilarious. I'm the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, thanks for getting us voice work on that, by the way.
Yeah, you're welcome. Sure, yeah.
All right. This is what it's like living in Hollywood. You just resent all your friends.
Hey, got these couple of friends here. We got any parts this week?
Okay.
I wrote these extra ones on the...
We're not coal miners. We have talent.
Oh, it's too bad because I'm actually looking for coal miners.
Coal miners are very talented. I take it back. Please don't send me a bunch of emails from the coal miners union. I'm sure they're good at their jobs. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Remember that just because you're paranoid does not mean they're not after you. Good night.